Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. Danny Fry, Ryan Wiggins, Brad Ring.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
For the sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married.
This is the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
It's the weirdest thing for me to feel like maybe we've talked about Jeffrey Epstein too much. We went a really, really, really long time. You might even say decades of being like, why aren't we talking about Jeffrey Epstein? And then I'm afraid that you are Jeffrey Epstein'd out. But I have to talk about it because we just saw the House vote and the Senate vote. He didn't sign that yet, did he? Did he sign it?
Not to my knowledge.
But once he signs it, there's going to be maybe a window of 30 days or so for the documents to be prepared. So it's not like we get the documents, but they're going to be prepared in a database, which you can search. You can keyword search. You can search Annie Fry. Oh, God, I hope nothing comes up there. I swear. There's no secret here. I have nothing to hide. If I do have something to hide, it's been hidden from me and I'm unaware of it. But he said he was going to sign it. The president is speaking right now at the Kennedy Center in Washington. And he's got the Saudi crown prince there. If you didn't see the negotiation that took place yesterday in the White House, in the Oval Office specifically, the Saudi crown prince is sitting in there and they're going back and forth. It's just a love fest between these two. I know that they know that they're doing something that everybody has like two eyes squarely focused on and one eyebrow raised very high. Like, what's going on here? What does this mean for the future? Or as the middle schoolers used to say, what does this mean for LeBron's legacy? Probably not about this. When you pay attention to how President Trump and the Saudi prince are very much so in business negotiations, and you watch the two of them sit there and president says, you've agreed to invest $600 billion into our country. He goes, no chance I could get that up a little bit. And he goes, how about a trillion? A trillion! Brought out the T word in the Oval Office sitting next to President Trump. This was all taking place yesterday. And of course, when we popped it on live, it just happened to be the question that was being asked by ABC, an ABC reporter, where Donald Trump just eviscerated her for asking a stupid question, calling ABC not even second rate, but third rate, whatever, and just explaining how useless ABC is. And he's like, no more questions from you. That's what we just happened to dip in. And I find that to be an interesting cross-section of what a lot of people in the United States probably experience when it comes to the news. You can dip in at any given time to this news cycle, and you might find out that there are huge, amazing things happening on the economic front. There are very, very big developments happening on the immigration, close the border, deportation. We're not even talking about closing the border. They just did it. They got into office. President Trump was inaugurated. They shut the border down. Just like that. Closed. Then the follow-up process to that, of course, is to deport the people who the president campaigned on deporting. And we talked about that yesterday. And our poll for yesterday on the YouTube channel was asking you how your support has evolved over the course of time. I think it was 8 or 9% of our audience said that the support hadn't changed at all because they never supported the deportation process, or that they've lost support for the president. It was around 90% of you said that you've either always supported it or you support it now more than you did originally. Very scientific poll. We only do the science here on The Annie Fry Show in our polling. I love polls, of course. As you know, Ryan is on a vacation day today and for the rest of the week, so I can't give him crap for how much he actually loves polls. But I do love talking to you. I do love getting the feedback from you about how you're feeling right now. Because when I talk to any, I might see you at a volleyball game for my kids, or now we're in basketball season. I might see you at church. I might see you in the grocery store, and you might come up and start talking to me, and you bring something up. Most of the time when I meet folks, you guys have something you want to say. And most of the time, what you want to tell me is that you kind of just hope that President Trump keeps going. You see all the arrows being slung President Trump's way, and you're just hoping that he stays the course. And it's usually something that you feel that you want to tell me. I do not have an in with the president. I could tell Will Scharf things, but he's the closest thing I got, and I would never lean upon a connection like that in order to try to get a message to the president, although I'm sure the president would love to hear that you want him to keep going. He campaigned very clearly on what he wanted to do to make this country great again. And he said the way to go about it is to put America first. And watching the president move through every single day and keep that focus, it's pretty amazing that he can be as resilient in that mentality amidst all of the things that are swirling around him. And the Epstein files, they've been swirling. That's been a big story. It's been a distraction. And the crazy part about it is the distraction is actually the Donald Trump part of the Epstein files. The Epstein files in and of themselves, last year before the president was reelected, we did a poll that was asking, like, if you could know everything about any of the specific conspiracies, the big ones that are out there right now, which one would you want to know the most about? And one of them was COVID. One of them was the 2020 election. One of them was the Epstein files. And one of them was something, the assassination attempts and former assassinations, not just the attempts. And I was a staunch supporter in that poll of learning everything about the Epstein files. And I still am. But on the merits for what they are, for what we can learn, me personally, speaking just for Annie here, I don't need anything out of the Epstein files to be like, well, I can't trust the Democrats now. That's not what the Epstein files are for. That's not what we're looking into these. It's not a political hit job. It is so much worse than that. It's so much more grave than that. We have to be in a clear-eyed focus where you can look at the information that is gleaned from the Epstein files when they're released, when we actually get to search them. And folks, listen, when I get spare minutes, which is probably going to be late at night when I'm doing this instead of scrolling X, I'm going to be searching words in the Epstein files. I did it with the WikiLeaks. I did it with Hillary's emails. I think I stayed up one night reading through Hillary's emails till like 4 a.m. I was just going down the rabbit hole that was kind of laid out to search and to read for myself. I'm gonna look through this stuff, but do any of us? I think we do. I think there are a lot of us. I just don't think we're the loudest people in the room. Do we understand that we are talking about child trafficking? About the captivity of young people for the use of sex for very powerful people? I mean, this is something that seems to have been a revelation here within the last week, and I think a lot of people have known this, but it's not really been as big of a part of the discussion, that At the epicenter of the whole, you know, air quotes, whatever the Epstein files are, we'll find out. At the epicenter of this, it's always been talked about how he's a child trafficker, as if that is what he did. No, that is a mechanism he used in his business dealings to make deals. It's like a part of what he did. And a lot of this is going to come out. And you know, is it Higgins? Is it the representative Higgins? Is that his name? The representative who voted against the release of him?
Yeah, Clay Higgins.
Clay Higgins. Is he Louisiana, Texas, Georgia? Mississippi, maybe? I don't know. Somewhere south. He's former law enforcement, and he was opposed to doing this because he knows that there are going to be things that are revealed that are going to implicate people who did nothing wrong. When you give testimony and people make accusations or pontificate on something and it sideswipes somebody in the process who's completely innocent, that's potentially going to be involved in this, and he didn't feel that that was right. Now, should he have voted against it or not? It doesn't really matter on the whole. It will matter to his constituents, and they will have the opportunity, the 750,000 people or so that he represents will have the opportunity to weigh in on that. But what is really at the core of the Epstein files? It's going to be very easy for me as a talk show host to come on here, and I'm not saying I'm not going to do this, but to find out, you know, we realized that Hakeem Jeffries was using the Epstein name to raise money so that he could further his political reach, so he could make money after Jeffrey Epstein was convicted of the things that we know that Jeffrey Epstein did. Really change my opinion of Hakeem Jeffries. My opinion of Hakeem Jeffries was very low to begin with. I'm not looking for collateral on, you know, political air quotes. I'll just say opponents instead of enemies. I don't need to wring the Epstein files out for my benefit. That's disgusting and gross. It's gonna show us a little bit of how our world works. But meanwhile, and I keep digging into this, folks. Meanwhile, Kristi Noem and Homeland Security continues to find, in Charlotte, they just found how many kids that were, I can't remember the number.
Hundreds.
Yeah, hundreds of children who have been missing. Donald Trump's administration right now is finding children who are being trafficked, and nobody wants to talk about it. Why? So we can dig through the Epstein files and find a Republican who had some sort of affiliation with Epstein at one point and blow that up if you're on MS Now or whatever the heck that station is called. Or if you're on the other side and you're like, ah, Hakeem Jeffries is a scumbag. Okay. I'm not going to stop donating to Hakeem Jeffries now. I'm not donating to Hakeem Jeffries now. I can't vote for him. He doesn't stand for anything that I stand for. Can we not cheapen what we are about to find out in these Epstein files by just burying it down to the bottom of the barrel? Like, who can we politically hit on this? Whatever it exposes, it exposes. But remember the victims and consider the fact that the man who is in the White House right now is finding children who are being trafficked. The man who was in the White House before was allowing children to be trafficked. Big difference. Voters in the United States of America right now, if presented with those facts, may view it differently. Probably not. But that's how I see it. We're going to take a quick break. I love having Kayleigh McEnany on the show. She's going to be with us when we come back. The co-host of Outnumbered on Fox, a former White House press secretary as well. I want to talk to Kayleigh McEnany a little bit about a conversation she had on her show this weekend about where the Democrat Party is going, what they want to do if they get power back, and whether she thinks the Republicans need to pay a little more attention than they are right now and make sure that they retain their majority, if not grow their majority in 2026. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
We're added after FDR. President Trump faces those term limits. He is not going to be able to run for re-election in 2028. Are you thinking of maybe running?
I'm not thinking about anything because I think we have a president now who's not even been in for a year. We've got a lot that we've got to accomplish. I'm obviously working hard to keep points on the board in Florida. But look at the election results 2 weeks ago for Republicans. That was not good. Mm. You know, we've got to do a good job as Republicans. And I think that should be the number one priority. And the way you do well in the midterm elections is to produce positive results. And so I would focus on that. This jockeying and all that, I don't think is productive for us. Get things done for people. You know, we showed in Florida when I came in, we were a purple state. You know, now we're considered a red state because we produce results and people follow it.
So Governor Ron DeSantis, my favorite governor, especially as somebody who currently lives in Illinois, talking about what needs to be attended to, which is the midterms coming up. If you pay attention to the election results of a couple Tuesdays ago, you know that there is some focus that the Republican Party needs to have in order to win those midterms and retain President Trump's ability to govern. I want to talk to Kayleigh McEnany about that. She's the co-host of Outnumbered on Fox, former White House press secretary as well, and author of Serenity in the Storm. Kayleigh, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Annie. Thanks for having me.
I want to talk to you a little bit about your interview with James Carville. I found that to be fascinating. The man doesn't hold back. He has some thoughts about what the Democrat Party should do if they were to regain the majority. Talk to us a little bit about that interview that folks can check out for themselves and what your takeaway was.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I'm glad you're giving me an opportunity to talk about it because, you know, some people say, why would you bring on, you know, a left-wing voice like James Carville? But, you know, when he comes on, we all know where he stands. It's very diametrically opposed to where I stand. But I approach it from a perspective of what are the plans should the left take back power? This is someone who paved the way for Bill Clinton to get to the White House. He's a huge voice in the party. What are their plans should they take back power? And he laid it out pretty clearly. He said, pack the Supreme Court. He said, get rid of the filibuster. I pressed him on that. He said that's exactly what he would do for certain purposes, including the purpose of making D.C. and Puerto Rico a state. And when I asked him, you know, this sounds like naked political ambition, he said, well, I'm a naked political guy, and that's what I am. And that is what I very much appreciate about James Carville. Look, he's saying it like it is. That's what they plan to do. Should they take back power? He's not afraid to admit it's a political calculation. And hey, you know where the guy stands.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, we've seen somebody else kind of take that tact as well. I would say President Donald Trump did that. He laid out in his campaign for re-election exactly what he wanted to do. And about, 10 months or so into this administration, he's ticking things off left and right that he said he was going to do. It's making the obvious people very frustrated about it. But there are a lot of distractions as well. I want to ask you about the Epstein files. President Trump says he doesn't want people to get distracted by him. Where do you think the Republicans need to navigate right now with the release of the Epstein files that's most likely pending?
Yeah, I think transparently letting all of these files out as they said they've planned to do, as that, you know, almost unanimous House vote and then passing through the Senate is going to make possible. But, you know, I really think that this is a Pandora's box. And one of the things that, you know, Mike Johnson was warning about is, you know, whatever we put out there, it is going to be used to demonize X, Y, or Z person, even if, you know, these are not vetted facts yet. They deserve to be out there, but not everyone whose name is mentioned is going to be guilty of anything, but it does create this, you know, aura of suspicion around any name that is in this file. And I think we've seen that with what we've seen from Stacey Plackett and the coordination she did with Jeffrey Epstein. Of course, she's a Democratic congresswoman. Now we learn about Hakeem Jeffries and the donations that he took from Jeffrey Epstein. I think, you know, Democrats in trying to make this a partisan political issue that they tagged to Trump, even though Trump kicked this guy out of Mar-a-Lago, even though Virginia Giuffre repeatedly said President Trump did nothing wrong here, they've used this as a political weapon. And I think what we're seeing with the limited number of documents, or the thousands of pages, I should say, we've gotten so far, is it really is backfiring. And I think Democrats are going to find that in trying to use this as a political weapon, it is going to come and boomerang right back and harm their party in the process. But the bottom line is these young women deserve justice. They deserve transparency. They want the files out. and that should be the end of the story.
We're speaking with co-host of Outnumbered on Fox and former White House press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany. You know, I heard Brian Kilmeade, he's the show that comes on right before mine here in St. Louis, a long time ago, he said Republicans have to live life in a speed trap. If the Republicans do anything wrong, they're absolutely going to get busted on it. The Democrats don't have to maneuver in that. And that was good perspective, because speeding is speeding, but it sucks when only one party ends up getting called on it. I get really annoyed by the hypocrisy of a lot of the Democrats, what they can explain away or not adhere to, not hold themselves accountable for the same things that Republicans seem to have to be held accountable for. Where do you think the Republicans need to focus those key issues going into the midterms? Because the left seems to be just about Trump. That's all there is to what they're trying to fight against. The Republicans have to fight for something. What's the right message for them to retain the majority in the House?
Yeah, and it's no doubt saying we're reversing the ill-begotten economic experiment of the Biden years, where inflation, President Trump handed him 1.9% inflation. He took it to 9.1%. I mean, that's extraordinary. President Trump has brought that number down, but there's still more work to do. And I love that the administration is acknowledging the pain of the American people. People are having a hard time affording goods, prices. It's important to bring them down. But I think what President Trump is doing very deftly is acknowledging that, but also saying, I have the right solution. You heard him say this today, and he said it also on Monday, and it really caught my ear, that he has secured $18 trillion in investment into the country. And he's on pace to do $20 trillion by the end of the year. Those aren't just big numbers for big companies. Those are jobs. Those are wages that are going to go up. That is growth in the country, which will ultimately bring down prices. So I think saying to the American people, I have the right solution about a problem that is very important, and here it is, and having that message from now until next November is going to be key.
I hear a lot from Treasury Secretary Bessent talking about how the first and second quarter of next year is going to prove very fruitful for taxpayers getting their tax returns and their pay. They're going to see that extra money in their actual take-home pay. I would assume that if you can get it done by first or second quarter, that that's going to bode well for the midterms. But the president also has a lot of other victories surrounding his economic plan that's going to take a little more runway, I think, for, you know, everyday Main Street St. Louis Americans to feel. What are the other victories that you're seeing the president have right now that you think are going to resonate with voters come 2026?
Yeah, I saw that the trade deficit has come down, which is a big win. Big win for us. It means, you know, we're not being raked over the coals by other countries who get more favorable terms. But to your point, these are long-term rectifications, that we've had these big trade imbalances that benefit other countries, harm the United States, harm, you know, the American worker. But in trying to rectify that and course correct takes time. It took, you know, leveling the tariffs. It took waiting to have favorable trade deals. It takes time for that to bake into the economy to manifest. Also, no tax on tips, no tax on overtime. You just pointed to Bessent's comments on that. All of that kicks in next year, and I think people will feel that. I remember term one of President Trump. I was there. It was an economic boom for the country, and I think we're on the precipice of that, but you have to do the undamage of the past 4 years, and you have to wait for some of these policies to kick in, and I think we're seeing it start to work because inflation has come down, and now prices have to follow.
Kayleigh McEnany speaking with us right now. Last little question for you here, especially considering your interview that I encourage people to go watch the whole thing. Kayleigh McEnany speaking with James Carville. He's told us exactly what he wants the Democratic Party to do should they win in the midterms, maybe in 2028. They're going to have to get there first. I sense a little bit here, at least in the Midwest, a little bit of TDS fatigue. There's a little more eye rolling going on about the people who are melting down just at the sign of Donald Trump anywhere. Do you think that that's going to move one direction or the other come election year once again? Are people going to get fired up to hate Donald Trump? Or are they going to be like, gosh, my tax return was good. Wars are less. I think I'm going to stick with this guy.
It's going to be the pocketbook issues. I mean, look, I hesitate to mention him as a model because he certainly is not a model in his answer. Zoran Mamdani, you know, obviously socialism is not the answer. Communism is not the answer. He had his fair share of Trump derangement syndrome. He was obsessed with Donald Trump. But what he did do was he talked about affordability over and over and over again. And even though he didn't have the right solution, he was hitting on the right problem. And by acknowledging that problem, and focusing, you know, somewhat substantively on that, though completely wrong on it, he ended up catching a lot of voters. It was in a deep blue city, but I think it's important, and I think you're seeing it with the McDonald's summit today, his Saudi Arabia remarks, the issue of affordability, showing voters what is our answer to socialism, what is our answer to communism. It's free market capitalism. It's helping the American worker. It's these tried and true. I think will be very, very key, because the TDS, you focus on that alone, it's going to backfire on you. But what the left did successfully in these last elections was pairing it with the issue of affordability.
Well, Kayleigh McEnany, thank you for the time today. We're tuning in every day to watch Outnumbered and your weekend show. We're always grateful for some time here on ours.
Thanks, Annie. Appreciate it.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Kayleigh McEnany, author of Serenity in the Storm, a great book. She also wrote I think it's called For Such a Time as This. It's a really great book about her time serving in the White House, a press secretary, and it was during COVID. And you kind of get an inside look at what that was like because she was there. Kayleigh McEnany on The Annie Fry Show. All right, quick break. The YouTube live chat poll right now. Votes are coming in. It is a very close poll at this point in time. What do you think? Are you experiencing affordability anxiety? Yes or no? Simple yes or no question here on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. Go vote. We'll be right back.
Would a $2,000 tariff dividend check going to people be inflationary?
There are a lot of things that are going to happen next year.
Is that one of them?
And that could be one of them. And again, maybe we could persuade Americans to save that, because one of the things that's going to happen next year is the Trump accounts, every child who was born from January 1st for the next 3 years is going to get a government account that goes into the stock market. So every American child born for the next 3 years, starting January 1st, is going to have that. They can take it out when they're 18. They're going to learn the power of compounding, and there's going to be a lot of financial literacy around that. And I think the reason that we saw kind of the disastrous election in New York is young people don't feel like they have a stake in the economy. So we want to give them a stake in the economy.
So we want to give them a stake in the economy, says Treasury Secretary Bessent. That sounds like a stimulus check. There's a difference between a stimulus check and a tariff check, if you ask me about that, which I guess you kind of are, sort of. But we also want to be paying down our debt. We've got $38 trillion of debt there, and we want to make sure that it is going to be going in the other direction. The rapid pace with which we are seeing our debt explode. It's West Wing time, folks. I'm talking about the West Wing. So if you don't like that, tune it out. But I'm going to tell you anyway, because it happened in the early 2000s. The amount of money that they're talking about being concerning in our debt versus right now, this was 20 years ago. They used to have a great concern about a fraction of a debt that we are facing at this time. And Bessent's talking about putting a little money back into the hands of American people. A stimulus check, money that's taken in, that's then given out. I would wonder if these tariff checks are going to end up actually being more of a tax credit. That goes, when you do a tax credit, it goes to people who pay taxes. I'm kind of a fan of that, just on the whole, that the person who is getting the money back is somebody who's actually already paid into the system. I don't know if that's what he's going to end up doing, but what the president's going to end up doing. But it does seem like those 2000 checks are around the corner. And I really wonder, like, what's the cutoff? Because if you say a household that's making $100,000, and that's what it is, $100,000 in New York City, in Los Angeles, and $100,000 if you're making it in like New Orleans or something, big difference in what a household taking in that kind of money can actually do. I'm sure that if they're, you know, the amount of money that my family makes with four kids in the Midwest looks a lot different than the amount of money that my family makes if you're single and in New York City. You might be struggling in one and not in the other. Well, how are they going to figure out who gets a piece of this pie? And I can imagine that it's going to frustrate some people, but possibly make a lot of people happy. Here's more.
We have an answer, do you think, from the Fed about another cut? Do you think that's where they're going?
I hope it's where they're going, because you know, when you're in uncertain times and after what this Schumer shutdown did to the economy, I would think that if you're not taking out an insurance cut here, or if you're flying blind, they say, well, we don't have data. Well, if you don't have data, then that's what insurance is for. So, you know, I would encourage them. They've gone into a cycle. So let's go 1, 2, 3, and you know, we can see from there.
So now you have the Trump administration also leaning into those, pressuring the Fed to make a move to cut some more. And, you know, I didn't like it when the Biden administration was using the Fed to try to game the system. And you could definitely track what the Fed was doing with interest rates or cutting rates or not cutting rates in conjunction with the election to try to make things look a little bit better here and there. It seems as though, I mean, right now, I think mortgage rates are up. The Fed cuts rates and mortgage rates, they react to what the Fed does. And those mortgage rates right now, they're not at their lowest lows here in a while. I know that there are people who are working with Stewie, and I highly encourage you to do that. He was with us yesterday on the show, who they're waiting for the opportunity to lock in when rates dip down a little bit. The manipulation of our economic system that has taken place leading up to this moment, you see the Trump administration very much so wanting to put the power of the dollar back into whom? Whose hands? The American people's hands. That America First thing? Yeah, that's back, and it's in full throttle when the Republicans are in charge.
Let's elaborate on the president's plan. There's $26 billion available, if you will, for what Joe Biden put in as enhanced premium tax credits. The Democrats want to send that $26 billion back to the insurance companies. They take 20% of that for profit and overhead. That's law under Obamacare. They're allowed to take that 20%. The president and I want to send 100% to patients to put into an account to spend on the health care that they want, not just the health care that the insurance company allows them to have. And by the way, with this money, they can pay their deductible and their copay. Under the Democratic plan, there'll be maybe a $7,000 deductible before you get into the insurance. Under the Republican plan, there'll be $1,000 to $2,000 to pay for that health care before you kind of start paying out of pocket for your deductible.
So Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy speaking there about what the Republican Party plan is for health care, for insurance. And not talking about putting money into your pocket so that you can be able to afford that those healthcare services better than what the Democrat part plan is, which is to say, oh, we'll just send that money over to the insurance companies. Once again, we have to reinstate competition between insurance companies. They have to be competing for you to be one of their customers. I need the insurance companies. I need them to be available to me. I need them to offer me something. And then I pick the one that's best for myself and my husband, for myself and my kids, for our whole family together. A lot of us have just gone through open enrollment just now, just closed for our company. I don't know if it's exactly the same for everybody, but closed for us last week. And you go through all of these things, you don't really have a whole lot of options. You're attached to the insurance setup that comes from your company. And I have health insurance through my job and I'm happy to have it. And it works for my family, but it is very expensive. And I'm blessed to have a family that doesn't really have to use the health insurance too terribly much. Not everybody has that. A lot of people have medical expenses, and the amount of money that you have to dump into the system while still paying sky high premiums over and over again, it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. Let's listen to this is Secretary Brooke Rollins that I'm going to play for you here. And, you know, another thing when it comes to the economy and it also comes to affordability, like what makes things cost so gosh darn much? SNAP. Thank you to the Democrats for shutting down the government and making everybody pay attention to exactly how our SNAP system works and who's benefiting from it. Brooke Rollins was on with Larry Kudlow and was talking about the system as it is right now and how it might be refined.
Hey, I have a handy dandy chart. I was getting to the affordability piece of SNAP. Oh. Almost 40% increase under Joe Biden of what was spent in the people that entered the food stamp/SNAP program. That's 40%. Of course, they were working to buy the election. But what we have seen and what Doge and our amazing team at USDA, 186,000 dead people are receiving SNAP benefits. Half a million people are getting paid twice. We've made hundreds of arrests. We have a lot more to do. But this was, I think, an unintended consequence of the Democrats shutting the government down for 43 days, is it shined this very bright light on one of their pet programs and now has given us a platform to completely deconstruct the program, make sure those vulnerable Americans who really need that benefit are going to get it. And for all the rest of the fraudsters and the people who are corrupt and taking advantage of it, we're going to protect the taxpayer too.
So that's Secretary Rollins talking about that. Brad, you just looked up how many.
Yeah. So the latest numbers I can find say 1.7 million non-citizens receive supplemental nutrition assistance. And that was in 2023. And that is roughly about 4% of SNAP.
So I wonder what the numbers are. I'll look them up here, too, and find out what they are. Like, you listen to Secretary Rollins there talk about how during the Biden years, it skyrocketed. We are flooding the system with handouts. And, you know, you don't have to go very far on social media to find people who are bragging about how they're abusing the system. I mean, if you're going to go if you're going to try to like make influencer dollars on how you're abusing the SNAP system. I saw one woman at a grocery store had two containers of ground beef, and she was changing the labels on the ground beef so she could, when she checked it out and purchased it, it was a fraction of what it actually cost. And some government agency was like, yeah, we're finding this person. They found her, and I guess they arrested her or something. I don't know. Fraud, waste, and abuse. My goodness. In the SNAP program, how much fraud, waste, and abuse is going to refortify our country to be in a better economic footing? Because, yes, we can cut spending, but we also have to make sure that the investments that we're making are in the American people's best interest, and that we are not taking any dollars from the American people that they would better be served providing for themselves by making the choice for the dollar that they earned, where it should go, how it should be spent, how it benefits themselves and their families. The YouTube live chat poll for today. Are you experiencing affordability anxiety? Yes or no? Got 117 votes on the poll so far. Come join us. It's close. So your vote will have an impact on maybe which yes or no actually comes out the winner here by the end of the Annie Fry Show. Go to the youtube.com/@AnnieFry and vote on the live broadcast in the live chat right there if you're experiencing affordability anxiety, yes or no. Quick break. Wiggins America, Ethan edition. Next. Fix your face. Ain't my fault they all be jacking. Keep up.
Players only. Come on. Put your pinky raise up. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Wiggins. Oh, Wiggins.
Not Wiggins America. Ethan's America.
Disappointed.
Ethan's America.
Oh. Ryan's not here.
I'm like the what are those sad puppy commercials where the puppy's just looking at the camera just like
because they
shaking
haven't been fed.
Sad.
That's I can't watch those.
I can't either. But that's kind of what I feel like right now. Just kind of staring at the camera like, this is my life.
We should make a video intro for this segment.
Yeah.
And you can just be sad puppy in like random places.
Ryan wouldn't, you know, definitely use that to his advantage.
He's not in charge of that. I can make that happen too.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, today we're going to be talking about things that you always need to do when checking into a hotel room.
I'm going to check into a hotel room tomorrow.
This is great advice for you then. I didn't even know that.
I kind of am creeped out about hotel rooms.
Why?
Because other people live
in
there.
What creeps you out?
Lots of things happen in them.
Do you have any general rules when checking into a hotel that you're like, okay, kids, this is the first things we do before going in? Like,
I check the beds.
Okay. Just for like bed bugs or like just in general? Or
I just want to... You can usually tell if a bed hasn't been changed.
Mm-hmm.
So I will check a bed to see... To verify that it's been changed. I've had some negative experiences in hotel rooms.
I kind of want to hear.
Oh, the worst one, I'm not going to say where it was. It was during COVID. It was during like the aftermath of COVID. It was a place that was open when most of the world wasn't. And we stayed 3 nights in this hotel room. And what I always do when I leave a hotel room is I strip all the beds, one cover by one cover down, so that I can ensure that kids didn't have socks or toys or stuffies or something like that that got under there, and they made their way to the foot of the bed, and they're gone forever. So I stripped them all down, and I pulled the last flat sheet down, and there was blood on the mattress, on the flat sheet on top of the mattress. And it was not on there. Like, they had like two flat sheets, which was a fitted sheet. The one that was put on top of the other one, there was like, it was blood.
Nope.
So they put a sheet on top of the sheet that had blood on it.
Nope.
And I got a lot from that hotel.
Oh, I bet.
The offer from that location was pretty steep. And I took it. And normally I'd be like, I'm just never staying there again, which I will never stay there again. But
it's pretty sick.
It's so gross. Oh, it's so...
It's sick that there was blood on the sheet, but it's also sick that you got, you know, some money back. That's pretty nice, too.
And the other sick. We don't drink out of the glasses that are in the... Like, if you have glasses with the little paper things on them.
Oh, okay.
Nope. Not drinking out of those. We'll go get a water bottle or something, some kind of bottle from the vending machine, and fill that back up if necessary.
We were never allowed. My mom was like, keep your shoes on. You know, after you shower, like, get socks on right away. Don't let your bare feet be on the floor, because you just have no idea what has been on those
floors. I'm super picky
at
the places that I'll be willing to stay to. Like, if I will read the reviews, and if I see any reviews about it being not clean, I'm not staying there.
So this article saying some of the top ones, and I know we only have, where are we out at, 56?
57.
Okay.
Seven.
Check to
seven.
Make sure that the locks work. This feels like a pretty obvious one.
Yeah, and always put the other lock on, the bar thing.
Yes, the making sure that second one, whatever you call it, the chain lock, mm-hmm. is there is always an important one. You brought up checking the beds. This article says to check for bed bugs specifically. Because hotels are one of the main places that, main ways that bed bugs can eventually invade your home, because there's so many different people sleeping in there. And sometimes it doesn't even have to do with even if the sheets are being changed, they can infiltrate in the rugs.
Maybe the headboard or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So checking for
yuck.
Signs of bed bugs, yellow shed skin and eggshells.
Excuse me, what?
Oh, gross.
Yep,
don't ever
said.
Say that in the show again.
Which part? The or
dump
the other
that
part?
Out of my mind.
Got it.
Hit the dump button in the mind.
Listen out for noise, it says, for thin walls when you get there, just to kind of keep an ear and see, you know, okay, or do I have noisy people staying in
experienced
the
that before?
You know, I
no bueno.
I live in an apartment, and I'm pretty sure that we only share one wall with, mm-hmm. with another tenant, but I think it's a pretty thin wall. I mean,
do they just
knock
on the bang on the wall all day? Is that what it feels like?
I will if I hear their freaking dog barking until 1 a.m.
You're
night.
A wall pounder?
Only if that dog is barking late. That's the only time I'll do it. Oh man, I was heated last night. I was not happy. Thin walls. Check
do they
for
listen
thin
to
walls.
The show?
I don't know.
You should turn it up real late at night.
Check to make sure the phones work. Clean high touch surfaces.
Remote control.
Use the safe. I've never used a hotel safe. And then make sure you have everything you need. Annie, don't forget anything at home.
I will do a Walmart order delivery, and usually there are some basic things that I forgot in that Walmart order. Let's talk to DeRoy Murdoch and Corey Malone in the 1 o'clock hour. Don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.